Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
D.L. Hall looked good in this game. Pitched two innings. Only gave up two hits. Three strikeouts, though. Brian Baker, I think that was eight straight scoreless outings now for Brian Baker. C.N.L. Perez, Dylan Tate all leave with donuts in the run column once they leave the game. But yeah, you know, the Orioles are in must-win mode right now. They can't afford to be dropping games, especially ones, like I said, when you the Bats have struggled so much on the second half of the season. When they're getting games like this, and like the one that they had Saturday night against the Astros, where that's another high-scoring game that they lose, they've got to take advantage of these opportunities when the offense is actually contributing, because you just don't know how often that's going to happen down the stretch.
Well, the thing that, just think, all right, Cordell, let's just say, I mean, you're up, you score all those runs, you win that game, okay? Let's just, for example, you won that game. You're 81-73. Seattle lost to Texas. Mm-hmm. They're doing you a favor.
Yep.
You're 81-73. They're 83-70. I mean, you're right there. I mean, you're in sniffing distance. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're starting to really get nervous, you know, and then, all right, you know, then you're sitting, you got eight games left. The way Seattle's playing, I mean, maybe if you win four or five, you know, but they're just giving too many away, too many games away, too many opportunities, you know, that are right there for them, you know, and Seattle's trying to say, hey, we don't want it. You guys take it. Yeah. And the Orioles said, no, we don't want it either.
That's what it's looking like, and it's crazy because this team just hasn't been able to put it all together in a while now.
Yeah, so it's like football, special, you know, offense, defense, special teams. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like one day the offense is good, but special teams and defense kill you. The next day, you know, defense plays great, but the special teams and offense kill you. You know, and that's kind of how it is with the Orioles.
Definitely, yeah. It's two games left in this four-game series against Boston, still remaining out in Boston. You know, the Orioles, after this, three games in New York. New York clinched last night. I don't know how much of a difference that'll make in that series of, you know, what type of New York team they'll face. But then they also finished the season with a three-game series at home against the Blue Jays, which you would expect to be a pivotal series. You got Dean Kramer and Rich Hill on the mound tonight. Dean Kramer's been one of those guys that has kind of been a staple for this rotation as of late. They're going to need a bounce back effort from their pitching staff tonight, because you can't get into these shootouts and lose at this point. You know, the Orioles have done a good job scoring runs, like I said, I think four of the last six games before last night. And now making it last night was that five out of your last seven games. Now the Orioles have scored at least five runs. So the offense is waking up, but the pitching staff has to follow suit. And if that's not going to be the case, then, you know, this playoff hopes, they're pretty much shattered.
Yeah, that's the same. And like Batista killed him the other day. You know, yeah. I mean, guys that have been good players for them. And I just think they're tired. You know, they don't have the zip that they had before. They don't have the velocity that they had before, but the bats are waking up. I mean, they're hitting the ball hard.
Definitely. And, you know, we had our votes for most valuable Oriole, and, you know, I submitted mine. We had to a couple, but maybe like 2 weeks ago, And, you know, I put my vote in for Adley Rutschman, me personally, but Santander was on that list. And the way he's been playing as of late, I mean, he probably should have got a little more of a mention. But I think when you look at valuable oil on this team, it's probably should be Adley Rutschman when you look at the way that this season has gone, especially the way that the team had kind of changed their look on this season, the way that they looked in general on the field once Adley Rutschman came up. It was a night and day difference, but no doubt there have been other people to contribute. I mentioned Anthony Santander, Cedric Mullins, you know, he's in and out of the lineup, but he's been there. Gunnar Henderson, ever since he's shown up, has been phenomenal. You mentioned Batista. He's been great all year. Mm-hmm. You know, there's definitely been other people to mention, but I think as we get closer to the end of the season and most valuable oil is probably going to come out, you know, sometime soon. I would be super shocked if Adley Rutschman isn't that guy.
Yeah, probably. Just with the way that the records changed and, you know, the pitching staff's been great, you know, and he, you know, calls that. You know, I mean, he's the quarterback for that. Mm-hmm. So I don't think people, you know, I mean, Santander, probably so. But Adley's done it on both sides of the ball, right, offensively and defensively, where Santander is more so just the offensive side, you know. So I can definitely see Adley, you know. And I would think that, I don't know about you, Cordell, but Haney and I were talking about yesterday. I mean, is it time to give Adley a long-term deal?
I don't see why not. You know, Julio Rodriguez has already gotten his.
Yep.
I think it's clear watching him play that this is a guy that you hit on. You know, he's kind of the face of the rebuild, and so far it's been so good. And he's already, you know, kind of thought of by a lot of people who I respect that cover Major League Baseball and that have played this game, that he's already kind of thought of as one of the best defensive catchers in, you know, in the game already. So I don't see why not. And I'll take it a step further. You know, I'm kind of on the same wave when it comes to, like, Gunnar Henderson. Like,
I'm right there with you.
You know, I think it could be a situation. Look, I think both he and Adley are going to both have incredible careers going forward. I think they're both going to be pillars of this team in the future. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Gunnar ends up being the better player on the team. I think they're both going to be spectacular. You know, I think it'll be a 1A, 1B situation. But I really would not be surprised if Gunnar Henderson turns out to be the 1A guy. And if you're talking about extending Adley, and I totally agree that they should, I'm kind of in the same ballpark when it comes to Gunnar Henderson.
How does the supposedly, you know, the team up for sale, how does that affect it, you know?
A lot.
Right.
You know, a lot.
Because, I mean, if I'm selling.
You're not invested.
I'm not putting out $100 million dollars or whatever right now. No. You don't let the new owners do that. And you know what? If I'm the new owners coming in, it's the first thing I do.
Yeah.
You know, because, all right, hey, these guys are awesome. You know, you go sign, you know, Gunnar. You go sign Rutschman, and then you get Santander signed, and you know, you take care of all these things, and it's like, this is gonna be good.
Oh, no doubt about it. And you talk about, you know, how this impacts the sale of the team. You look down the road and out at the Nationals, that was part of the debacle with Juan Soto, because the Learners are kind of shopping the team, and they're like, look, I don't know if we want to spend, you know, 500 plus million on a guy that's worth it, but I'm looking to get out. I'm not looking to put more in. And yeah, you're right. That's probably going to be, you know, a part of what hinders this situation as far as extending these two young guys. Loaded show today, and we get started next here on Vinny and Haney. All 22 is out. The Ravens defeated the New England Patriots on Sunday to pick up their second win, 2-1 now on the season. We'll look and see what Vinny saw on the film when he watched the All-22 this week. That's next here on The Fan.
Breaking down every last second of game tape for Sunday's matchup.
Who's your connection?
You sound like a cop to me.
Who's your connection?
Enter Vinny's Film Room on 105.7 The Fan. The Fan.
Vinny and Haney back here on 105.7 The Fan. The Ravens, 2-1 with the Buffalo Bills coming into town this week. They were able to go out to Foxborough, pick up their first regular season win out in New England when they defeated the Patriots 37-26. Offensively, you know, it was a lot to like in this game. Some things changed. The running game kind of brought back to life. Lamar Jackson was as spectacular as he's been to this point in the season. Offensive line, here and there. What did you see, Vinny?
Yeah, I thought, let's start with the offense then. Is that what we're starting with? Offense. All right, let's start with the O-line. You know, Macari, he's not a really strong guy. I mean, Judon wore him out one time on a pass, and he only played like, what, six or nine plays, something like that. And he's fine, you know. Is he elite guy? No. Can he get you by? Yeah, he can get you by. Powers kind of inconsistent, you know, just because he's not a good athlete. That's the biggest problem with Powers. He's not a good – he'll get too high at times, and he's not a great puller. But, you know, he's getting better in the run game. You know, they run a lot of down blocks type stuff, and they run a lot of stuff pulling. If they had a better athletic left guard, you know, that could pull and do some stuff, the run game would even be much better because – he's not a good puller, you know, just because he's so non-athletic. But now Lindenbaum's going to be a stud, I think, for a long time. You know, there's some plays on film that he really looks good. I mean, what he can do is he can pick up stunts, twists. He's staying lower. He can pull. I saw him go downfield. He pancaked a guy. You know, I'm really impressed with him. He's great at getting up on linebackers and stuff. I just think that he's a huge asset to them. And I think, you know, with Zeitler and Morgan Moses, I think, especially in the run game, they do a real nice job. Morgan Moses struggled a little bit with Judon one-on-one because he'll get too high and he'll kind of get tossed around some. But overall, I think they're getting better. Well, Falele, when he came in, it was a disaster, you know, but then I give Giro a lot of credit because I'm saying 90% of the game they had, if there was a pass involved, I say 95% of the game, there was somebody else there helping, you know, maybe two plays, maybe two. I remember one where, and Lamar was kind of getting the ball away real quick, you know, when he was lined up by himself. Otherwise, the problem with Falele is plays soft. For a guy 390 pounds, he's not a violent guy. He's not an explosive hands guy yet. You know, and I thought, Cordell, I mean, I said this from the get-go when that he needs a year of – he needs a redshirt year to develop.
Yeah.
But, you know, out of necessity, you can't do those kind of things because he's got over 35-inch arms. And, you know, so – but what he'll do is instead of punching in pass, you want to lock out, he'll catch. And what I mean by that, he lets the defenders into his body,
right?
You know, and that's what and on his kick step with your left foot, you got to get it back farther so you don't give up the corner, you know. And if you don't extend your arms, how short is that corner then? And that's kind of the problems that he's having. And in the run game, he does a decent job. You know, I mean, it's not like he's bulldozing people; he just lays his body on them and gets in the way. But he is a good athlete. He can bend his knees and stuff. So I think a year from now, when if he can ever learn how to play, he could be very, I think, a right tackle. I mean, Cordell never played left tackle in his life. That was the first game he's ever played left tackle in his life. So, you know, for his first game, you know, now we don't want him starting at left tackle Sunday.
Now, that's what I was going to ask you. What would your plan be?
Ronnie for this? Stanley, get your ass out on the field. That's, you know, I mean, were you there last Friday? I mean, Harbs, you heard Harbs.
I mean, he's putting it all on Stanley at this point.
Right.
It's clear.
Go ahead, like, tell the folks what.
I mean, it's when Ronnie Stanley feels like he can get on the field, when Ronnie Stanley physically puts himself on the football field and tells Harbs he's ready to get out there. That's when he'll play. But it's been a lot of, you know, I think Harbs talking in between lines up until this point.
Oh, no doubt.
But now it's like straight up, we're waiting on Ronnie to give us the green light. Until he says that he's ready to get out there, we're not going to see him. And at this point in my mind, it's like, okay, If that's what you want to do, Ronnie Stanley, fine. But I'm thinking that when we do finally see him, it'll be all systems go, Ronnie Stanley. He's 100% good, because if you're not ready now, how much closer to 100% are you going to be once you finally get out there?
Hey, you know what, Cordell? Watching those videos and stuff, you know, Dobbins is playing. He doesn't look as good as Ronnie Stanley looks on the videos and stuff that, you know, the media dudes are sending out. Mm-hmm. When you saw Harbs talking that day, did he look last Friday? It was like, you know, like, because you could read Harbs pretty easy.
He's ready for this to be over with. Off, right? Yeah, he's tired of dealing with this. He's tired of answering the questions first and foremost.
Yep.
And he's tired of having to plug and play at the left tackle position. And now you're down to now your fourth guy. They have literally run out of bodies. You already mentioned it. Falele has never even played left tackle before.
Yep.
When they initially put him out there, I'm like, man, I would have moved Moses over to left tackle.
That's what I thought.
They didn't. They went the route with giving him help. Do you think they stick with that this week, or assuming Stanley doesn't play, do you stick with Moses at right tackle, or do you move him over?
No, I think they put Falele over there just because he's got a game under his belt now, and you got a week to prepare. You know, so Ricard and Ross and all those guys, you know, they'll just be incorporated in the game plan. That's what I think. But I mean, if Ronnie Stanley is any kind of teammate, you're playing. I mean, if you're 95%, you're playing. You know, I mean, just because your team needs you. Are you a team dude? You know, that's what I'm saying. If I'm his teammate, I say, what else? You know, because his teammates, his O-line buddies, they're all watching him. Mm-hmm. Damn, you look good. How do you feel? I feel good. You know? Come on, man. We need you. How many guys do you think, hey, Ronnie, we need you, man.
I mean, definitely this week going up against the Bills defense, you got Von Miller coming to town, and this looks like Von Miller, you know, a couple of years ago, Miller. So I don't know how much you want to watch him and Falele go at it if you're a Ravens fan.
No, I agree. Now, let me ask you this about Boyle. What's the deal with Boyle? Because, you know, he must not be healthy because I think he got four snaps.
Yeah. Something's not right there. Josh Oliver is getting more playing time. And in running situations as well, Josh Oliver is the guy out there blocking instead of it being Nick Boyle. And I just knew once I saw Nick Boyle activated this week that he would, you know, this was because, okay, we got to get the run game going this week. Right. We're getting JK back. This is the week that the running game gets clicking, and we're going to have our best blocking tight end on the field to contribute to that. And he was nowhere to be found. I think it's getting to the point now to where it's like, are we counting down the days to where Nick Boyle is no longer on this team? I think that's where we're headed towards.
You know what sucks about it now is because he's a vested vet, you know, he's getting paid.
Yeah.
You know, so you might as well keep him, you know, because you got to pay him. Now, when I watch Dobbins on film, I still think he's on his runs, a lot of his runs. If that would have been Justice Hill, got more yards. He's not, you know, I mean, he's tough and he's physical, that kind of thing, but he still doesn't have, I mean, because when you see Hill running and you see Dobbins running, that's a different speed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally.
You know, and different bursts.
Yeah.
You know, it just reminds me back when Dobbins' rookie year and Ingram started. And he's getting like 3 yards of carry. I'm like, damn. You know, and then Dobbins would come in and be like, boom, you know. And it'd be like, how come he's getting 6 yards of carry and the other dude's getting three? And that's kind of where we're at right now. I mean, that's what it looks like right now. And I just don't know if Dobbins is ever going to get it back this year.
Right.
You know, a year from now, just like Saquon Barkley said Monday night.
Yep.
He said it in the pregame, you know. So I like the fact, I mean, because Dobbins wants to play, and I mean, he's a competitor and he's tough. All the opposite things of Ronnie Stanley right now. And then Notre Dame guys, you know, I don't rip them that much, but Ronnie Stanley I'm kind of a little disappointed in. But I would play Hill a little, you know, I mean, if Dobbins has got to start because whatever, you know, I'm putting Hill in there to get him some more run. I mean, I want him carrying the ball more.
Yes, he had six carries and had 60 yards on those carries.
And made some great cuts.
He did. He had he had great vision, too. I thought he left some yards on the field in that Dolphins game simply due to lack of vision, but I thought he found the holes on Sunday. He hit the holes, and he made guys miss. It wasn't just like he's just a straight-line speed. He actually ran hard.
Yeah, and the long run that he had, like the cuts that he made, you know, he made quick, sharp cuts, you know, and it was pretty impressive. And I liked him, you know, as a runner, you know, and Davis played one snap. I mean, if it was up to me, I would cut Davis and bring up Beatty. And you know, why? Because what in this run game is the big difference in plus plays and not? The burst.
Mm-hmm.
And Beatty can do that. You know, and Davis got the one play and they didn't even hand it. They faked it
right,
to him.
Right.
You know, and I think Lamar ran it. Do we have time to talk about tight ends, wide receivers?
Well, we're actually going to do that next segment. Okay. We're going to call an audible here and go to the tight ends and receivers in the next segment. We'll hit on both of those next here on The Fan.
When you need answers, when you crave sports, when you want the best, it's 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, we're back here on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland in for Bob today. We're breaking down the Ravens' win over the Patriots. We talked a little bit about the offense. We're going to transition to the wide receivers and tight ends. And obviously, if you're going to talk tight ends, you got to mention Mark Andrews, 8 catches, 89 yards, 2 touchdowns in that game. Devin Duvernay also had a touchdown in that game as well. Rashad Bateman possibly could have had a touchdown, went off his hands. But Vinny, when you looked at the film, what did you see?
Yeah, I tell you what, when watching the All-22 is kind of fun watching Mark Andrews, because that dude, man, he works to get open. You know, he had, let me see, he had number 21 covering him. He had a corner covering him, you know. And Mark Andrews is so physical. I mean, he tosses people around to get open. He's smart in zone coverage and stuff. And when Lamar's scrambling, he's working to get open. You know, he was supposed to be going right, and then Lamar starts scrambling left, bam, he's planting and coming back left. You know, that's the one that he dropped in the first quarter. That was a low ball. But, I mean, that dude is a worker, man. I mean, all you got to do, if you just watch a video of him, you know, you put it on and you say, hey, you want to be a great tight end? You know, if you're a college dude, watch Mark Andrews.
Yeah.
Because that dude works, man. I love watching him play. Now, Josh Oliver, on the touchdown that he caught, all right, on those kind of routes, when you're running a crossing route as a tight end or wide receiver, now, what they teach you is, if it's man coverage, if you think it's man, you keep running. Why? Because there's a guy running with you. Zone, you got to sit in a hole. See, and Lamar made a great throw to him on the touchdown because, you know, he threw it behind him.
Yep.
Why? Because Josh was kept running,
and
he would have ran right into the to the other guy. So it was a great throw by Lamar because he sat him. He made him sit in that hole. Because if he just turns and sits in a hole, I mean, it's an easy touchdown. But it was a great play by Lamar. But Oliver needed to be there a lot in this game because of the left tackle situation with Falele. And I thought he did a nice job. I mean, for what he's required to do, he's required to do Boyle's spot. My question is, when Kolar comes back, you know, he's coming off IR after next game, right? So what happened, you know, I mean, because you can't have them all.
Right.
You know, is that when, you know, do we, you know what we could probably see, Cordell? How about if Boyle's not going to be part of it, Boyle going on IR? I could see that.
Oh, yeah. Definitely could see that. You already mentioned he's a vested vet.
Yep.
You know, if they're going to try to find a way to get rid of him without having to get rid of him.
Right. Because you're paying him anyhow.
Right.
Right. And you like him as a guy, I'm guessing, you know. So, all right. So the and likely, likely, I mean, he has his role right now. You know, he's kind of a move type guy, and they tried to get him a quick screen, and they want to get him in a situation where they can take advantage of his yak ability. And I don't blame him because, see, I think G-Row, this is the best job I think G-Row has done this year because he's taking advantage of all the assets of every player. You know, what is likely to do good? Man, you know, he's good with yak. All right, let's get him in position where he gets the ball quickly so he can run.
Yeah.
And those are the opportunities they're giving him. Now, the wide receivers, let's start with Duvernay. Did you notice he was in the backfield?
I did.
Yep.
He got two jet sweeps in that game.
Well, he lined up in the backfield and I handed it to him. He ran a sweep. I thought, when I was watching the film, I thought maybe could have cut it inside instead of running so wide.
And he got nothing. You're talking about the play he lost yardage on.
Yes.
Yeah.
They you just know, cut that one up inside. But I think maybe because, you know, we don't have a ton of burst in the backfield right now, he provides that as a runner, as we've seen him, you know, on his punt returns and stuff. You know, but Duvernay's becoming a much better route runner. I mean, the one time he ran the slant route on the pass that he caught, beautiful route.
Yeah.
He's becoming such a much, much better route runner. And then on the touchdown, he went up, you know, and got the ball. He's got excellent hands.
Excellent hands.
So I've been impressed with Duvernay. And then the punt that he had for 40-some yards. I mean, the same drive as what he caught the touchdown. So that was kind of his drive and kind of changed the game, you know, a little bit. Now, Bateman, he didn't really get open. I mean, he had a chance on one. I have to show it to you on film. I mean, he's on the inside, and he's going to run a deep corner. And I think, and Lamar's going to him, but he fell down on his cut, you know? So that was one. And then he ran, he's great at yak.
Incredible.
He's ranked fourth of all the wide receivers in the league with yak yards. You know, so they just need to get him the ball more. But you know what? When you go back and you look at the film of New England when they played Miami, now Waddle and Hill didn't do much at all against them.
Yeah.
And neither did the Ravens receivers. So it was all about, I mean, Andrews had 13 targets. I think the most anybody else had was four.
Yep. Rashad Bateman with four. No other player on the team had more than two catches. And, you know, as we go on in this season, obviously, Mark Andrews is the guy in this passing offense. I don't think anybody's questioning that at all. At some point, I think you're going to have to get more production or at least more opportunities for some of these wideouts. They're getting the touchdowns. That's great. They've definitely been efficient. Guys like Duvernay and Bateman, they're scoring touchdowns off limited catches. But I think at some point, they're going to need these guys to get more than just the two catches here and there with Mark Andrews getting the 8 to 10 catches a game.
Yeah, I think people, I mean, when you're playing the Ravens, what are you going to do? All right, he likes to throw it to Andrews. You know, we got to jam him at the line of scrimmage. We can't let him off free because if he gets off free, you know, he's getting open because if you put a DB on him at any, he's 265 pounds and he's going to out-physical you. Yeah, I agree with you. They need to get more, you know, if the guy's playing off, especially like with Bateman, if the corner's playing 6 yards off, give him a quick hitch because what does he do great?
Yeah.
Yak yards, you know. So I think I'm, you know, liking what G-Row's been calling and stuff. So they'll take advantage of the weaknesses, you know, that Buffalo has. So and then Lamar, I mean, if we look at Lamar, I thought Lamar, you know, I mean, he made a couple bad throws where he worm burned them and stuff. But he saved them a lot. You know, he saved the offensive line a few sacks a couple times by, you know, avoiding the rush and things. And his run plays were good. And I think the biggest thing that he's doing is, you know, instead of trying to get that extra yard or two, he's going down and not taking any hits, which I think is smart. You know, so he's playing at an extremely high level right now. And as Marty Morningwig said, what, two Thursdays ago, he's playing the quarterback position.
Yeah.
And he's playing it extremely well. And the more when the games are tight in those critical situations, he's running a lot more.
Definitely. Oh, yeah. He knows. You know, it's all about getting that next first down. And pretty much when Lamar takes off, it's almost but a guaranteed first down at that point. I want to go back to G-Row for a second because I think G-Row has done a great job so far this this season through the first three games. And that's even with the run game struggling the way it was. I didn't even necessarily look at it like it's a play calling issue. I think it's more performance based as to why the running game is taking
so long. I thought it was the running back situation.
Same. Yeah. And I think the offensive line struggling to kind of get a push at times, but also not having that type of talent in the backfield that can take advantage of the little holes that were created at times. But yeah, I think G-Row is continuing to call good games as the season continues to go on. I liked his mix of play calling. I liked the fact that he, you know, kind of rolled with Hill and Dobbins in this game the way that they did. The run game was respectable in this game for the first time all season, and you saw how they kind of used that to benefit them in the passing game as well.
No doubt about it. And I agree wholeheartedly, you know, and the run game was totally different though. When Hill was in there, no doubt. It looked like that's the Ravens.
I mean, he shot out of a cannon.
Yeah. When him and Lamar were in there doing their thing. And then, you know what else impressed me about G-Row was he said he had to adjust the short yardage, you know, and they threw it. You know, last week they kept banging their head, Davis. You know, and this time they threw the ball for the touchdown, which, you know, I was impressed with. And then the other thing, how about stealing the shovel pass from the Chiefs?
Yeah.
That was on that play, when you see the All-22, you'll see. Because Lamar fakes, you know, like he's going outside. Both guys ran with him. You know, and then he dumps it back inside, you know. So it was well blocked, well designed, and thank you, Travis Kelce.
Yeah. You'll gladly take it. Anything Kelce can do, I'm pretty sure Mark Andrews can do as well. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we keep looking at this Ravens Patriots game as Vinny watched the film. We'll take a closer look at the run game. And can this run game continue to go forward? Will it continue to be a success with Dobbins and Hill back there? Look, night and day this weekend with those two guys being back there.
And that was a good defense.
It was. And they'll be playing an even better defense
this
week when Buffalo comes to town. So we'll look at this run game closer next here on The Fan.
At the stadium, Vinny schmoozes in luxury suites.
From the left, dear, one serves from the left.
Whatever's gotten into you, Calpurnia?
Haney, post up in the bleachers.
You're all garbage! All of you!
The only place to catch Vinny and Haney together is on 105.7 The Fan.
Woman Crush Monday, Woman Crush Wednesday, I should say. Yeah. Getting my days. We're halfway through the week. I don't want to go back to Mondays.
No, we crush women any day you want.
I definitely don't want to go back to Monday. We're halfway through the week, closer to Sunday, where the Ravens and Bills will play out at M&T Bank Stadium. And we're still looking at this Ravens offense, specifically this running game. And it's Vinny and Haney back here on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland in place of Bob with Vinny Serrato. Quick Draw McGraw on the board. And Vinny, this run game was able to kind of get back going this weekend in the Ravens win over the Patriots. You had a different group in the backfield this week, though. You didn't have the Mike Davis and the Kenyon Drake. Kenyon Drake was a healthy scratch. Mike Davis got what one snap in the game.
Yep.
Instead, you got Justice Hill, who had 6 carries for 60 yards. And you had the return of J.K. Dobbins, 7 carries, 23 yards. It doesn't sound sexy hearing that 7 carries for 23 yards, but I promise you, if it had been Mike Davis, it probably would have been 7 carries for minus 1 yards. So I felt good seeing those two guys back there. The running game looked better. How confident are you that the run game success will be able to continue when the Bills come to town this Sunday?
I think this, if Justice Hill had those 7 carries that Dobbins had, he'd have had 35 yards. You know, he'd average 4.5 yards a carry. And I think that's the biggest difference right now with Dobbins. You know, he looks strong. And the most impressive run he had was probably for a yard or two. The one where he spun around.
Spin off the guy.
Yeah. And that kind of shows that the knee is stable, you know. But, you know, I keep going back to Barkley. I mean, and he talked in the pregame Monday, Saquon did, to RG3 and Steve Young and talked about the year, you know, when I would watch the film, you know, I saw myself, but I didn't like what I, you know, I didn't have confidence in myself because I wasn't seeing what I thought I was seeing, you know? And I think with Dobbins, I think that's the same thing. If you put on clips of Dobbins in, what was his rookie year, 20?
Yeah, 20 years ago.
If you put him on in 20, he would look like what Justice Hill is through the hole. That's because he had some plays that if he was more explosive, he'd be 88 and out the gate. You know, he just can't do it yet. And, you know, I give the kid credit for, you know, working at it. And we'll see if he, you know, gets better weekly or this is just who he's going to be this year. And it just takes time. It's like that Thanksgiving turkey, you know, the button hadn't popped out. It ain't done yet, you know, and he may not be ready yet.
Yeah, I mean, and that's fine,
right?
That's fine. I don't think anybody.
That's why I keep asking for Beatty.
Yeah, and I don't think anybody was necessarily looking for J.K. Dobbins to make his debut, and it's like, he's a 100-yard rusher all of a sudden. He's got 15-plus carries. Like, that's not what I was looking for. I was looking for exactly what I got. I was looking for a guy that at least looked like he can make a cut. He could break a tackle. He could go forward.
Wasn't limping.
Exactly. Didn't get hurt. Was able to make it out of the game healthy. That's, I think, is the biggest thing, the fact that he was able to take a hit and get up. You know, I think that does wonders for his confidence. But I just love the dynamic of adding speed in the backfield with Lamar. Justice Hill, you already talked about it. The dude, it jumps out on you when you watch him play.
What injury did he have?
I think it was an ACL with him as well, or Achilles, one of the two. I believe it was an ACL, though.
Because, I mean, he hadn't missed a beat,
no,
man.
No, and he was the first guy back. He was back in minicamp.
No,
you know?
I know.
And
oh, he had Achilles.
Good. Achilles, okay, yeah.
When did he get hurt, Norm?
Before the season.
He got hurt.
Article here says September 6th, so around there.
All right, so September 6th. So
that was the week
my wife
that
said
the
it
season
takes 9 months. So September, October, November, December, January, February, March, April, May. Yeah, May it was been 9 months, and he looks like you couldn't tell that, you know, he's had an Achilles.
And he's basically has been the guy that has gotten skipped over pretty much each time this season, or since he's been here, he's been skipped over. But he's been skipped over for guys that I thought were better than him up until now. But now it's like, okay, Mike Davis and Kenyon Drake were literally giving you nothing. Justice Hill can't be any worse at this point. And I just think that dynamic of all that speed in the backfield, we know what Lamar brings in the running game and in the speed department. You put Justice Hill next to him, and he's actually running with the same type of aggression that he ran with on Sunday. He's running with that same type of vision. I think that's a hell of a 1-2 punch between Lamar and Justice Hill. And with Dobbins being thrown in there, it allows Dobbins to kind of work his way back and not feel the pressure to be the guy in the run game as long as Justice Hill is going to be able to continue to do what he did Sunday.
I want to say both had roughly 26 to 28 snaps. I could see, you know, a little bit more for Justice. You know, he's the hot guy, you know. And then what I think is coming more, I think more Duvernay in the backfield is coming.
I wouldn't be mad.
And what I'd like to see is more north-south running with Duvernay in the backfield. Because, I mean, that's kick return and punt return.
But do you think he can withstand running between the tackles the way that a Debo Samuel can or somebody like that?
Or Cordarrelle Patterson.
Well, he's not. Exactly.
He doesn't have the size.
He doesn't
have
the muscle those guys have.
Right. But, you know, in certain situations, like the read stuff, you know, that they do, possibly. I just think, but like the wide stuff, especially if Falele's a tackle, you know, he doesn't hook people, you know, so they can set the edge. So I'd like to see, like, some draws or, you know, like maybe a screen pass to him or something. I like with...
Or the triple option. You know, I wouldn't hate to see that.
Right. Because if you're not bringing up Beatty, how do I get more speed in the backfield? Duvernay.
Yeah.
You know, And those two could be. I just think we're going to see more Duvernay in the backfield. He did it at Texas a lot, you know, when he was in college.
Vinny and Haney, we're back here on 105.7 The Fan. Coming up next on the program, Bill Ripken, who's actually been co-hosting with Bob Haney on Baltimore Baseball Tonight all week. He'll join us next to recap the Orioles' loss to the Red Sox last night. Orioles fall 13-9. Bill Ripken joins us next right here on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.